get connected to your community, is tonight's message. Get connected to your community. We are the connected generation. We're connected through cell phones, pagers, especially our computers, as we connect to the World Wide Web of information. Computers have revolutionized our lives. Remember when we used to type letters and prepare papers? Back in those days, before the computer generation, we had to know how to spell correctly. We had no spell check on the typewriter. But since we have now spell checkers in our word processors, do you know that studies have shown that young people are losing the motivation to learn how to spell correctly? That's the honest truth. It's been discovered that we are now losing the ability to spell correctly because of texting. Never does anybody text right, except me. I spell the whole word out. It takes me forever, but I do it. I don't know all those stupid abbreviations. What does LOL mean? Yeah, see, all of you know, don't you? Yeah, laugh out loud. And there's just all kinds. And honestly, it's low caps. It's not caps. It's low. They don't even spell the words right. They don't print them right. It's a mess. We're raising a bunch of delinquents. Retarded. English language has changed. But you know, even spell checkers sometime, hold it, they mess up too. You know, because the same, many words sound the same, but spelled differently. So sometimes a spell checker will miss it. Because so can be written S-E-W or S-O. Amen. It depends on how you use it. Okay. Are you wearing your connected bracelet? Let me see. Connected bracelet. Oh, wonderful. Great. I'm asking you to wear those for 30 days to remind you to stay connected to God through that daily Bible study and prayer time. It'll allow you to identify other members of our church so you can connect with some maybe new Christian friends that you don't even know. It's also a time to serve as a conversational catalyst. If people ask you about the bracelet, you can share with them and be reminded that you're connected to God through Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you about how important it was to be connected to your Creator. Last week, we talked about being connected through your local church. Today, we're going to talk about being connected to your community. Now, the word community can mean several things. Community is created within our church. Whenever a small group meets together and shares fellowship and love in Jesus' name, it's a community. But in this message, I'm using the word community to describe everyone and everything outside of the walls of this church. I'm talking about the people and organizations around us who are not a part of the Harvest Baptist Temple, but people who are outside of our fellowship. I'm talking about those people in our community where we need to establish and maintain a positive connection if we're going to be the kind of church that Jesus Christ wants us to be. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave that Son to us. And now we're to take God's message that he sent to us and take it out to the world and tell the world about that and share the good news. A church cannot be content to be a fortress. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a fortress where we hide every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night to get away from that big bad world. This is not what this is. It is not a fortress where Christians come to hide out from the world that we live in. We are an equipping center. Again, we are an equipping center to prepare people to go out and carry the gospel and the love of God into our various communities. In our scripture passage today, we meet a man who was changed by Jesus Christ. Then he went out and connected with his community. We aren't going to read the entire chapter, so let me give you the background of our passage. Jesus Christ and his disciples arrived by boat on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as soon as they reached their boat, they encountered a man who was dominated by demons, or we say demon-possessed. Now, we don't know his name, but we're going to call him Demonized David. I knew folks would laugh. I didn't say it because of my son-in-law. I did not. It's just DD, and it helps me to do something else in a minute. Demonized David is who we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to give him that name. And David was so troubled, he lived amongst the tombs, and the Bible says he ran around naked, and he couldn't be shackled with chains. He was a wild man. Maybe we are talking about David. Demonized David came screaming down the slope toward Jesus and his friends. And I can imagine, no doubt, maybe some of those disciples were scrambling to get back in the boat. Not sure. Dave ran up to Jesus. And in Mark chapter 5, if you'll find verse number 7, please. Mark chapter 5, verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not. I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not." Jesus demanded to know the name of the demon. And the demon replied, "We're legion. We're many." Roman legion back then was 6,000 soldiers, so poor old Dave was controlled by thousands of wicked urges and a multitude of horrible appetites. What I'm trying to say was, this young man was a mess. But do you know there's a bunch of messes all around our society that need to know the name of Jesus Christ? There's young men and young women who are demon-possessed today, and they need to be delivered, but nobody is taking that word to them. We need to reach out and get connected to our community. There was a herd of swine on the hillside near the lake, and the demons begged Jesus to cast them into the pigs, and Jesus granted their strange request. You read the story. So Jesus commanded the demons to leave David alone and to enter the minds of the swine. But the demons didn't know that pigs don't have the same measure of self-control. And so the perfect swine dive happened. The Bible said they ran down to the water and they dove in the water and they were all choked to death. They did a swine dive. But the main thing is the demons left poor, demonized Dave. In the next scene, Dave is sitting. The Bible said he's clothed. And he's now sitting in his right mind. Totally transformed. From having been with Jesus, he's totally transformed. Now listen to me. Instead of demonized David, now we have delivered David. Or delighted David. Or determined David. Now let's pick up the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. Now Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home. Go to your family. Tell how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I don't want you going with me. You go back home." So the man went away and began to tell the people in Decapolis, 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. The Bible says all the people were amazed. Dave's community was a series of small, tenantless towns around what's now known as modern Syria. It was called Decapolis. Dave went back and connected with these 10 cities, and he told them the good news, how that Jesus Christ had changed his life. That's what we need to be doing. God has placed each one of us, do you realize this? Everybody who's been saved, God has placed you in a special community. And we have a responsibility to tell that community about Jesus. We must somehow connect our community so they can be connected to God. If you have a desire to connect, there are three important things to know, and I'm going to give you those three things, and I'll be done. Roman numeral number one, connect to the right people. I'm talking tonight about your relationships. Notice where Jesus told delivered Dave to go. Now, delivered Dave wanted to go on the road with Jesus and his entourage. That's what he wanted to do. But the Lord had a much better idea. He told Dave to go home and tell what the Lord had done for him. And that word home can mean the immediate family as he lived. In other words, Jesus knew Dave already had some relationships he could go home and talk to. Go home and talk to him. When I talk about being connected to our community, I'm not talking about finding some stranger and asking them if they're going to heaven or hell. You know, Jesus kind of indicates in his statement to deliver Dave that our first responsibility is to connect with people we already have relationships with. You need to talk to your family. At the core of the circle, do you know what a concentric circle is? Tony, the geometry whiz kid. Tony, tell me what's a concentric circle. He's a whiz, all right. All right, come on, Jack, you stand right here. I'm going to do a little demonstration. Now, Jack is a tiny little circle. Okay, Jack, you're a tiny little circle. You're in the center, okay? You're just a little circle. The next circle I need is Marvin. Marvin, would you come, please? Now, I'm going to have all these guys come and stand here because a concentric circle are circles that have the same center. All the circles have the same center, all right? Now, you got to stand just above him, just above him. Just a little bit, just a little more. Right there. Okay, right there. All right. Now, the first circle that you must concern yourself with is self. The first priority, everybody, is to ensure that you have yourself a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, the next circle that you have is your immediate family. And so Marvin is going to represent the immediate family. That's that circle that now you have to reach out to and witness to. Now, you got to consider that this is a circle, but they both are in the center, all right? A circle. The next circle. Let's see. I need Brother Mott to jump up there. Number three. Next circle is relatives. Now, we have ourselves. We have our immediate family. We have our relatives. Steve, come on. Steve, right? Up here. This is our close friends now. That's our close friends. And then the next one is our business associates. And who can that be? Come on, Rich, jump up there. Rich is a business associates. And then we have our neighbors and our acquaintances. Come on, Brother Kearns, jump up there if you will, please. And then we have person number X. Now listen, everybody. Everybody needs to know about Jesus Christ, but you got to start with yourself first. Come on, amen. I've got to know I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody's going to help me preach. I'm about preaching myself out. Somebody can say amen louder. Amen. Thank you. We start with who first? Who do we start with next? And next. And next. And next. I can't hear you. Here we go, a little louder. We start with self first, everybody. And then we start with our immediate family. Say it, everybody. Immediate family. And then we have our relatives. Say it loud and clear. Relatives. We're on the radio. Everybody needs to hear what we're saying. And then next thing, we have our close friends, our friends. And then we have our business associates. And then we have our neighbors or acquaintances. And then we have person X. Everybody say it. Then we have. Do I have person X up there yet? Adam, jump up there, buddy. There's our person X right there. Now, this is a concentric circle, but they're all circles. Now, each one of these guys are in the center, but the circle just gets bigger. We start out with this little circle. You know, I was going to draw circles tonight, but my geometry class knows I can't draw circles. I mean, I try. I honestly try. I try to draw circles, and they look like eggs. Look like circles. I try, though. Brooke knows, too, don't you, Brookie? She remembers that class. So I try to draw these circles, but you see the little circle, then it's a bigger circle, then it's a bigger circle, then it's a bigger circle. This is called concentric circles. Now, every one of these, we reach out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly how you have to do to reach your community. You got to start with yourself. The important thing is, I must have, first of all, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, now you got to help me here. Secondly is, speak it loud and clear, everybody. Ready? Here we go. Self first. Then I have to do my. And then I have to do. And then I have to do. And then. And then. And last, person X. Thank you, fellas. You may be seated. Who in the world is person X? Wow. Who is person X? Maybe someone you see, or someone you know about, but they really don't fit any of the other categories. We call them person X. Your responsibility is to simply share what God's done in your life. So make a list. And as you move out towards out from the center, consider whether these people know the Lord or not. Does your immediate family know the Lord? Folks, this is so important. And then after you've got your immediate family, do your relatives know the Lord? Then what about your close friends? Are you talking about everything else, but you forget about Jesus? And what about your business associates, your acquaintances? And then this person X, somebody doesn't fit in any other category. God has called us as a church and as individuals to be involved in touching our community. And that's why I have a conviction that we should use all of our resources to show the love of Christ to our community. I really don't mind at all for the community to use our gymnasium, for example. I want to show them what Christianity is like. I have rented my gymnasium. I didn't charge them a dime to the high school basketball team here in Clyde. I want those boys to see what this gym was. The coaches come over here and ask me two or three times, could they use the gym to have practice? I said, certainly. I want them to come. And we make arrangements. We're going to have the city to have the big, what's that called, Brother Frank? The Expo. The Expo Center this year is going to be in our gymnasium for the whole city of Clyde. Say, preacher, why? I want folks to see what we have. I want them to come here. I want them to see what's going on. Just this last week when we had the funeral, and I was told this again this morning. The funeral director said, wow, I've never been in a place where I feel so good. He said, this is fabulous. And then just this morning, one of our young ladies, who is a friend to the funeral director's wife, said, man, my husband came home and for 2 hours talked about the Harvest Baptist Temple and Pastor Lewis. He was so impressed with everything. And when I left him, I said, now, sir, I want you to come. He said, I am coming. We're going to visit your church. You say, well, preacher, what's that all about? Winning souls and reaching out to the community. Listen, our radio station went to the big, big walleye drop up in Port Clinton. Why in the world would you send a Christian radio station to the walleye drop to make an impact, to testify to the community, to let everybody know, hey, there's a bunch of folks that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could join us. Amen. And you know, there's 34 people who had never gotten a newsletter asked for us to send a newsletter. Most people don't ever want to send newsletters. They said, don't send me, don't put me on the mailing list. But here was 34, right, Brian? 34 people who said, I would like to have a newsletter from your church radio station. Isn't that wonderful? If a handful of people get saved from that, it was worth everything. Amen? Now, but more than inviting the community here, we've got to go to the community. We must increase the scope and effectiveness of our ministry. We must look for ways to get the gospel out. Jesus told deliver Dave to go home and tell because he knew Dave already had a connection with those people. And so do we. So before we move any further out into our community, let's be sure to start with our own families first. Folks, let's make sure we're saved. Let's make sure our families know God and then go from there. Number two, connect with the right message. Your personal story. Jesus not only told Dave where to go, told him to go home, he told him what to say. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. There are several reasons why Christians don't share their faith. First, they're fearful. Some people are afraid they'll get rejected or ridiculed if they share their faith. Another reason people don't share their faith is because they don't know what to say. They think because they don't have a seminary degree, they'll say something wrong. The best way for you to share your faith is just to tell what Jesus has done for you. That's all that Jesus told delivered Dave to do. Just go tell what I have done for you. That's called sharing your testimony. What do you think Dave did when he returned home? Did he say, "Have you ever heard of the four spiritual laws?" Did he say, "Oh, by the way, do you know what the three keys are? Or the seven steps? Or the nine principles?" That's so silly. We don't need to do that. He said, "My life was a mess before I met Jesus. And there seemed to be 1,000 ugly voices in my head. I had terrible things I thought about all the time. But one day, Jesus came by the lake shore and found me. And he delivered me. And I'm a different person now since I met Jesus." That's all I got to say. Hey, listen, that's all everybody needs to say. Just tell your story. You say, "But my story is not very, very exciting. Because I never was a bad person." Isn't that what some people say? "Well, preacher, my story doesn't sound exciting to anybody." Your story is just as exciting as anybody else's story. Because it's your story that you tell, how you left, headed for hell, now you're headed for heaven. What a joy. Tell your story. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a story. It may not be as dramatic as delivered Dave or the Apostle Paul, but it's exciting to God, and it should be exciting to you. Every story has three parts: what your life was like before you met Jesus, how you came to know Jesus, and how your life is different since you met Jesus. That's a wonderful story. Just tell it. Number three, connect for the right reasons. Jesus told delivered Dave where to go. His own home, community. He told him what to say, what to share, the great things that Jesus had done for him. In the last part of the message, in the passage, we learn that David didn't just stop with his family members. Instead, the Bible said he told all the people in all Decapolis, all 10 little villages. He didn't stop with his own town. He went on. And verse 20 says, the people were all amazed. That's what I call connecting to your community. They were amazed. At this point, you may be thinking, "Okay, preacher, I know where Jesus said to go, and I know what he said to share, but why should I try to reach and touch people in my circle of relationships? Why should I even want to do that?" I don't know how many people will say that, but some of you might. Well, let me give you three things, and I'll be done. Number one, the reason you should is love. Now, David went back to his family and friends about Jesus, and he told about Jesus because he had a burning love for Jesus. You know, one reason we should connect with our community is because we love our community, but more so because we love Jesus. Now, I like Clyde myself. I was talking to the fellows the other day, and I said, "You know, went out to California, went out to the leadership conference, and that was all nice, but boy, you get out there in Los Angeles, and it's traffic, you know, I mean, there's people everywhere. I don't care what time of day or night. You know, I was glad Brother Brown was driving and not me, because he could go as fast as anybody else out there and just weave in and out of traffic. And, you know, we're all sitting there going, "Whoo, Brother Brown, whoo, see that, whoo," you know. Got back to Clyde. It was a Sunday morning. It was 8:30, and I was coming to the church. I stopped at Route 20 I looked to my right, nothing was coming. I looked to my left, nothing was coming. I said, this is fabulous. Went across Route 20 into the church. But you see, out there it's madman's land. Everybody just rushing hither and thither. Man. But there's a person who needs to know the Lord out there. Love will help you to get there. Love for the Lord Jesus. I love my community. You probably do too. I love my friends. I love my neighbors. You probably do too. I love America. You probably do too. But the main love that will motivate you is the love for Jesus. If you really have the love for Jesus, you know what he told us to do, we need to be at it. At this point, you may be thinking, okay, why should I try? Because of love. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and you know about that. You know about it. There'll be a final judgment. You know about that. That's why. In fact, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. And also verse number 14. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Drop down to verse number 14, if you will. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You see, love constrains. In the light of the coming judgment, we should have a holy fear of God and a love for God, and should be trying our best to persuade others to trust God. In the same section, Paul also mentions that's that love that compels us. It's both the love that we have for Jesus and the love that Jesus has for us. In John chapter 21, look, if you will, at verse number 15. Go with me to John chapter 21, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What did Jesus mean by more than these? Some think he was saying, Peter, do you love me more than fishing? Others think that Jesus meant, Peter, do you still claim to love me more than the other disciples? You'll recall a few nights earlier at the Last Supper, Peter had bragged, didn't he? That the other disciples might forsake him, but he never would. And then before the next morning, Peter had denied the Lord three times. Remember that? Whatever the reason, Peter admitted he did love God. He did love Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Feed my lambs. Jesus meant Peter was to provide spiritual food to people who needed to follow the great shepherd. Then Jesus asked him twice more, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus never said, now get this, Jesus never said, Peter, do you love my sheep? He never said that. He asked Peter, do you love me? The reason we must connect with our community with the good news of Jesus Christ is because we love Jesus. He's asking you the same question. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Give them some nourishing food from the Word of God. If you love me, love them. Number two, obedience. Then Jesus suggested, Dave, go tell your family. He didn't suggest that, really. He said, just go home. But it was a command. Instead of getting upset that Jesus wouldn't let him ride along, go along with him, Dave realized that Jesus had given him marching orders, and so he simply obeyed. Our commander-in-chief, folks, has given us walking orders. Testify, tell, evangelize, witness. Are we doing that tonight? Are we obeying him? He's our master. Luke chapter 6, verse number 46. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call you me Lord and do not the things which I say? Wow. What right do we have to call on Jesus and say he's our Lord if we are not obeying him in the area of sharing our faith with others? Can you hear me tonight? Get connected to your community. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Then the third thing is priority. Connect for the right reasons. Love, obedience, and priority. Telling others about Jesus must be our top priority. We're Christians. You know, have you ever thought about this? How can I be content to go to heaven when I see thousands around me who have not trusted Christ yet? It's as if I have been rescued from drowning. I'm sitting in the boat and watching all these other people drown. And I'm not even helping them. Does that seem right to you? I mean, I've been saved. You know, sometimes I don't think we think about it seriously enough. I one day was drowning in my sin, and Jesus Christ saved me. And I'm in salvation's boat now, and I can't ever lose my position. But all around me, and you have to admit, all around you, you see hundreds of thousands of people who are drowning in their sin. You mean to tell me you can sit content? Drink a cup of coffee? Have something to eat? And see those thousands of drowning folks headed for hell? It doesn't bother us? Heaven help us. I wonder what we would say. Could a sailor sit by idle if he heard a drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just watch his patients die? Could a fireman stand aside and watch men burn and lend no hand? Can we sit at ease in church with the world around us being damned? My goodness, somebody needs to wake us up. Amen. Folks are dying and going to hell. We need somehow to get connected to our community and get people saved. Amen. It's like you're just sitting in a boat by yourself. Everybody around you is drowning. Luke chapter 15. Here's a powerful verse. Verse number 7. Bringing the message of Jesus to the people who need to repent is the priority of heaven. I really believe that. Because of this verse. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, I got to thinking about that. And we kind of get excited when somebody sings a good song. We fill this place up when the inspirations come. Now, don't we? And we all love to hear them sing. Or if we had another big group come, we'd love to hear them sing. And oh, we'd all be such anticipation. And we'd be so excited. We'd be smiling and praising the Lord. Wow, this is great, you know. But you know, heaven doesn't get excited when 400, 500, 600 people get all excited about music. Heaven doesn't tell me they get excited when 400 of us on Sunday morning get all excited about a good worship service or a good preaching time or a good song by the choir. And that was a good song by the choir today, by the way. That was an excellent song. That's a good song by Sue tonight. But heaven doesn't get all excited about all that. Heaven gets excited about one soul that gets saved. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, all of our joy. And yet, I'll watch folks when somebody's coming to the altar. I'll see folks leave the church service while somebody's coming to the altar. I don't understand that. The thing we're here for, we get up and leave before they actually get done. We ought to be up here congratulating somebody who's just gotten saved. Or somebody who's just gotten back to God. Man, we ought not be leaving. We ought to be coming up and saying, hey, listen, I love you and I'm proud of you. And if there's anything I can do to help you, let me know. I want you to know God like I know God. What a God we serve. Amen. Invariably, some folks just nonchalantly get up and leave. Goodness. What are we here for? I know that this story was a good story. Dr. Oscar Thompson, who wrote the book Concentric Circles of Concerns, was a pastor before he was ever a professor. In his book, he writes about a teenage girl in his church. Her name was Brenda. She was a vivacious, outgoing, redheaded young lady with sparkling personality. She came to him one day in his office and she said to him, in tears, Brother Oscar, I am so unhappy. Nobody loves me. I could die and nobody would even care about me. Instead of telling her that her parents loved her and cared, many friends loved her and cared, Dr. Thompson decided to take another approach. He said, Brenda, are you a Christian? She said, yes, Brother Thompson, I'm a Christian. You know I am. He said, well, good. That's good. And then you need to know that the Bible never says that you are supposed to be loved by anybody. The Bible never says that. Instead, the Bible teaches us that God created you to be a channel of your love to flow out to others. That's what the Bible teaches, Brenda. Your problem is that you want the flow to go the wrong way. You're supposed to be the one doing the loving, a person who always wants to have the stream of love flowing towards them. He says it's going to become a stagnant pool. You got to give out love. Don't always want it to come in because you're going to become stagnant, Brenda. I do believe you've become stagnant, he said. Now, is there someone in your life that you would have a hard time to love, Brenda? She thought for a moment, and she said, oh, yeah, name's Judy. Judy, I can't stand Judy. Dr. Thompson asked, well, who in the world is Judy? Brenda said, well, she's a freshman. She's dumb as all get out. She's just dumb. She rides the school bus with me, and she just bugs me. I have to ride with her for 45 minutes every morning. And all she does is talk, 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 chatter, 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 chatter. And I don't want to listen. She's a freshman, and I'm a senior. I don't want to hear her constant chatter. Dr. Thompson said, your first assignment from this counseling session is this. I want you to love Judy. That's my prescription for your unhappiness. Then they came back a week later, and I wrote this right out of the book. I got on the bus Thursday morning. No sooner than I sat down, there came Judy. She sat down beside me. It just really bugged me. But I said, Lord, I'm going to show her love, even if it kills me. The best thing I thought I could do was just listen. So I turned to her, and for the first time, looked her in the eye while she was talking to me. As I looked at her, I began to see a little face I had never noticed before. I realized that underneath all that chatter was a hurting little girl. And as we continued to talk, I asked, Judy, tell me about your family. She became very still and quiet and was silent for a long time. Finally, she said, Brenda, my mom and dad are getting a divorce, and I'm so scared. We're going to have to move, and my whole world is falling apart. At that moment, I felt the love of God wanting to meet that little girl's need through me. I put my arm around her, and we talked all the way to school. After getting off the bus, Judy put her arms around me and said, "Oh, Brenda, I just love you." Amen. What do you know? She got what she said she needed. What do you know? Now, who needs tonight the love of God? Why don't you make a commitment to connect God's love to their need? Who needs God's love tonight? You know who they are. Is the Holy Spirit maybe leading you to someone in your circle of relationships who needs to experience God's love? Is there someone in your personal community who needs a touch of loving kindness? Folks, what are you waiting for? I want somebody to show me appreciation. Why don't you show somebody appreciation? I want somebody to tell me they love. Why don't you tell somebody you love them? Is there somebody waiting for you to come? Do you tonight know how to connect to your community? Let's stand together, please.